Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 7th, 2018, a rather important day all around. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well. And we're also joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, the indisputable maven of all things climate, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Well, folks, it is. We're recording this on a Wednesday evening. Donald Trump is still trying to destroy democracy, but we had a big election yesterday that was ended in an orgy of misogyny and racial hate from our president. But other than that, the Democratic Party did kind of trunch through and reclaim the House, right? So I thought maybe there's so many things to talk about. Rather than try to impose, we should proceed unencumbered by the planning process and just talk about what we saw yesterday, what we think, what we're feeling. How's that for a deal, guys? Make sense?
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Who wants to go first? I got 10 things in my mind. You guys, when you guys just a jump ball.
Let's hear it. What do you have on your mind?
I guess,
mind?
I mean, the to begin with, it was a good day for Democrats, right? Overcoming the gerrymandering of the House by winning the House was a triumph. The flip side is the election was not a repudiation of the hate and loathsome stuff that the Republican Party accepts and Donald Trump spews out. So there's still a lot of people that buy into that. That was a sobering message for me. I think that the other thing is that there is never, I mean, we've all worked hard and hoped and you know, put all of our faith in this election. 2 years is going to be another one. And that's the nature of democracy. So we need to be building a long-term set of principles and people coalitions. Of course, that's the work of politics, but I think the conservative side has done it much better. A long-term program so that every 2 years we have people and ideas to put up. There's so many things. I think Beto O'Rourke did great. Gillum in Florida was fantastic. Stacey Abrams, she's still kicking. So maybe we got another live to fight another day there. There are a lot of good people. But they embodied what I heard. I think it was Ezra Klein saying on Vox how, you know, the Trump has a defensive vision of America, defending this shrinking white minority and going back to the way it was. Whereas people like Beto O'Rourke and Gillum and Stacey Abrams were professing a positive view of the future of what we could become in an inclusive sense. I think that the Democratic Party needs to get back to that kind of a message if you're going to bring people in. I mean, I think it's a noble view of the future. And of course, climate activism fits into that in a big way. And then, of course, so let me just, I had my list, right? There's the oil money that crushed the carbon tax up in the state of Washington, right?
Yeah.
There's the fact that now that Congress is back in the hands of the Democrats, we've talked many times about the House Science Committee, right? There's going to be real climate hawks on that. And there's some real climate hawks in Congress. Many of the women, fantastic year for women, they are getting elected to Congress. A lot of those are scientists and climate people. So, I mean, there's all a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff happened, but it's all very in this atmosphere where you had a few big losses and the I don't know, I can't even find the right words, this sort of underbelly of hate that is represented by the things the Trump says is just still there. It still needs to be fought. So anyway, thank you for listening to me. Why don't you guys say something? Make me laugh. Say something funny.
Well, I don't know if I can make you laugh, but I mean, I agree with your point about the women and minorities really had a good show, I think, in a lot of races, right? There's a lot of females and Native Americans and just a lot more diverse candidates that took posts. And that makes me really happy to see that diversity of opinion. And also, you know, I think what I heard on some of the news reports was that a lot of these candidates, it wasn't that the Democratic party sort of opened up to them. It's just that they said, we're doing this. And they were just such great campaigners, and they had such great platforms, and they got themselves in of their own accord. A lot of the Democrats said, yeah, they're inelectable, right? Was kind of the, and that they proved all of that to be false. So I was really, really happy to see that. And I hope that means that the diverse ideas will also kind of shake up some of the, you know, the walls that are put up against climate and help people to start thinking differently. But I also was disappointed about all of the, you know, the ballot initiatives on climate that didn't make it through. I mean, you know,
I don't think
especially
any of them did, right?
I don't know. I mean, definitely
Colorado
not the Washington
down.
One. Arizona was a, you know, that seems like a win-win, right? Like it's solar energy and it's, you know, increasing the renewable energy resources. And I know Tom Steyer put in a bunch of money to it, but it was defeated.
Yeah.
And well, that's frustrating.
I think this is what DR has said and may say again, but I mean, the power of money in the, from the oil industry is enormous, right? And they can dump money in at will, basically, much more than you can. And I guess just strategically, it seems like these ballot questions are not the way to go. Just, I mean, we had success here in Massachusetts, right? I think on the different ballot questions, but boy.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's something interesting that I noticed on the Massachusetts ballot was, and I'm not going to get the phrasing right, but I think question number two, the phrasing in the question was so leading, and it's, I supported the phrasing. I think it was question number two was to basically try and get corporate power out of politics or something. But the way that they phrased it was very leading. Uh-huh. And that's one of the things they pointed out as being a problem with the Arizona ballot measure is that the ballot language was highly unfavorable to supporting renewable energy. Yeah, it said it included the phrase irrespective of the cost to consumers in the language. So, you know, if you don't know much about it and you read, oh, wait, this is going to be, you know, this is going to cost me money. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I don't want it.
Things are written by the secretary here in Massachusetts. Galvin, the Secretary of State, writes the ballot questions. So you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you can bias the whole thing by how you phrase the question. Right? And some guy out in Nevada. Wow.
Nevada did go through, actually. So Arizona did not, but I was just reading that Nevada did go through. It cruised to victory. Question six, which was a 50% renewable energy mandate on state utilities by 2030. There was some speculation that that was because Elon Musk has his big gigafactory in Nevada and he wants renewable energy. So that may have helped it. And also Steyer was backing it as well.
DR, are you hopeful? Are you sad? Tell me.
Well, I think with regard to the issue of Steyer being one of the deciding factors in Nevada, and Steyer being outspent, according to David Roberts, by $4 million in Arizona, and then in connection with the matter in Washington State, where reportedly Michael Bloomberg spent $1 million, Bill Gates spent $1 million, and the fossil fuel industry spent $30 million, I think we're looking at a situation where, frankly, progressive-minded and climate-minded and enlightened billionaires are going to have to start pooling their resources to go against unenlightened billionaires. This is a fight between money versus money. And I know there was that line we mentioned about Bill McKibben saying, you know, the currency of people's ideas, the currency of people's bodies. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is wrong. It's going to have to be the currency of currency. Because remember what, as I mentioned before, David Roberts saying that when he watched the Super Bowl in Washington State, every single commercial break had a No on 1631 commercial and not one advertisement in favor. Mm-hmm. That sort of stuff, if ballot initiatives are going to be the battleground for these sorts of ideas, if they're going to continue to be in the near term, that cannot happen anymore. The money from those who recognize the importance of these issues has got to start flowing more. Period.
So is a campaign finance reform a climate issue? right? Are you saying that we need at a national level to limit the amount of, let's call it dark money for lack of a better word, right? I mean, or are you saying that the rest of us peons should watch the behemoths of the billionaire behemoths duke it out, right? And it's big money against big money, and the rest of us are just spectators.
Well, campaign finance reform is a long-term goal, and you're not even going to have a shot at that until you have at least five favorable justices on the Supreme Court. And when people start talking about, you know, the prospect of, you know, adding more seats to the Supreme Court to sort of reverse that which was engineered by Mitch McConnell, you know, that has a lot of thought has to be put into that to make sure that if you do have six seats, they ultimately don't fall into the hands of those who would oppose campaign finance reform. But in the short term, it is going to have to be a war between cash and cash. This cannot be done for free. This cannot be done merely with, you know, the passionate commitment of activists. Unfortunately, as important as that is, remember, look at 1631. People were saying this is what's going to pass. This has the support from people on the front lines of climate change, the environmental justice communities, communities of color. This is guaranteed to pass, and it lost by 12 points. Sorry, money is going to have to be involved, and big money is going to have to be involved to fight off those who oppose these sorts of initiatives.
Do you think it's part of the problem is that we're too spread out? I mean, you know, I can't remember where, maybe it's Australia or something, but they pooled, there was sort of a pooling of all of the ideas under, you know, one umbrella of money and one umbrella of sort of a campaign. And I know, Ted, you've talked about in the past sort of the importance of embracing all of the items on a you know, democratic agenda in some sense, and pushing through all of those and being on board with sort of all of the things that fall under there. And I don't know if that's the strategy or not, but I do sometimes wonder if, you know, you have Steyer over here supporting this, and you have someone else over there supporting that, and someone else over there supporting that, instead of everybody saying, this is what we're going to focus on, and we're going to put all of our money into this specific issue, mm-hmm. renewable energy, or, you know, whatever the focus is, and push forward on that. Because, you know, I mean, even me, I like to support all of the environmental, I like to support the environmental, you know, sort of nonprofits mm-hmm. out there, but it's like you're constantly barraged with all of the different uh-huh. ones. Okay. And it's, you kind of like overwhelmed for, well, which one is my money going to do the most for, kind of thing, you know?
I think that there's a, yes. And I think that the example of that was Obama when he first came in, right? They put climate aside and they said they're going to do health care and mm-hmm. basically expended all the political capital getting health care through. There was a cap and trade. But I think what you're saying, Mariah, is that progressive groups need to stand by each other, right, and support each other. And it's only in unity do you have the strength, because you get picked off, right, by... If you're just a climate group, if that's all you are, then in the great mass of voting, you get lost in the noise, right? So you need to be with all the populations that can ally. That's where political coalitions come from, right? And that was the great FDR coalition, was labor and I don't even know who was in the FDR, but I mean these major coalitions that last for decades. And how do you put those together?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fine line between, you know, you don't want to be a sort of a sheep and not thinking about the issues individually and understanding them. But it's also, you know, I just really want climate legislation to go through, and I want to do whatever it takes to get it through, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, I guess, DR, I feel obliged to disagree with you, although I think it's bad. It's a bad precedent when, you know, if there was an anti-Koch, right, someone with as much money as the Koch family but liked to support climate change initiatives, would that be a good thing? I don't know, because then the rest of us are just, as I say, just bystanders. But on the other hand, the power in the age of the internet and everything, the power of money to put out a message and consistently pounded into your brain is enormous. Mm-hmm. It's hard to resist. I mean, it's really.
Well, maybe some of the problem too is that you don't, you know, as we've talked about before, you don't hear a lot of candidates talking about climate as an issue, a platform that they're running on. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just don't hear enough about climate change. So certainly maybe, you know, big campaign pushes, big financial pushes during Super Bowls and whatever, that could be helpful. Mm-hmm. But maybe mm-hmm. we just need to, it needs to be something happening every day. Like every day there should be a commercial on TV about, you know, the seas have risen another inch today, whatever, you know, something that is sort of where you're just, it's like happening every day in little ways. So it becomes part of the woven into the narrative that people hear regularly so that they start to care more, to care enough to vote about it.
I mean, I guess that's, I mean, the other thing that I keep thinking of is that we need to connect climate to the issues that people care about, because people do care about climate, but they care about it. It's always second order because they're more worried about their health or their job. And yeah. there have been noble attempts to connect climate, you know, climate response to jobs, right? The green jobs. That was the way they tried to sell cap and trade, right? Mm-hmm. But somehow, how pointing out the, or maybe we need to look within this area as a climate hawk. I can't. Maybe I'm not pushing, I don't know, how do you say this, is that you need to help the people working on health care, for example, and make your points, but somehow build the climate movement through pushing the agenda of other groups so that you have some reciprocity or something. This is why I'm not in charge of any campaigns, because it's very hard to figure this stuff out, but... I don't know. Well, I think that the take-home lesson for me is that we've just turned a page. As one tweet I saw said, this election, every election is a comma and not a period, right? This is the latest phrase. We have 2 years to work on clean energy and good things with the House of Representatives, and during that 2 years to build the coalition of people that will allow us to get the Senate back and the White House. Those are things that we just need to start getting ready now. In 2 years from now, there's going to be another election. You know, your pessimism notwithstanding, DR, we're going to have to get out there and fight the effect of big money, find ways to do it. I'm sure that there's ways to do it. We just got to commit to that path. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So look, what I will do, what we'll do is we'll put up, if I can dig up some of the links and stuff we talked about, I'll put them in the show. That'll be at massclimateaction.org/Facebook. You can check out the show on, blog, massclimateaction.org/blog. The Facebook page is /massclimateaction. You can listen to us on all the usual outlets. And so we'll close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions. We accept responsibility for building a durable future and believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. We must prepare for the 2020 elections and put the United States on a good course. And also, that includes a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
DR, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
I want you to say that again with a big smile, Mariah. Smile and say thank you.
DR, thank you for having me.
DR, you smile and say thank you. I'm going to smile and say thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.